The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
To the house! Touchdown!
This is unbelievable.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. It's Monday night, and that's right, it's time for another emergency pod. Just hit all the sirens, hit all the alarms. We are right back down the pole because we had a true shocker of a story on Monday. Much to get to in that, but first, Barton Simmons, Tom Fornelli, gentlemen, I'm starting to get the feeling that here for a minute, we might just be doing some routine check-ins, right? Like, we're just kind of popping in every now and then just to let y'all know what's going on as the coaching carousel continues to spin.
It's emergency pod season.
Yes, yes.
It is no longer the silly season of coaching carousel season. It's emergency pod season.
Yeah, it was there's always that one every single coaching carousel that just comes out of nowhere. And this, I hope this is what qualifies as the biggest shocker of the month, or else it's crazy things are going to happen.
Well, I mean, just remember, number one, it's there's three E's in Peterson. It is not Peterson, as we've all had to type it. We've all had to text it. This to qualify. And by the way, the news, as you know from the headline of the podcast that you selected in your podcast app. And by the way, just head on over, hit us with that 5-star review. And of course, if you want to get a question for a future mailbag, you can do that by giving us that 5-star review and including it. It will get added to the big old bag of mail, and we will be addressing it in the future. So we appreciate all of those who have reviewed and offered questions. They've led to some of our favorite podcasts, and we are going to continue to do that. But this is a college football headline that was a surprise enough for, obviously, the first text you get is Randy, right? I mean, it's just show Booker, CBS Sports HQ, coming in hot. That's just the way that these things go. And then, you know, my guy Henry, my guy Paul, like all these other people that have far less connection to college football. We talk about college football, that's fine, but this generated some real shock as Chris Peterson announces that he is going to be resigning, transitioning to a new role within the athletic department. He says he needs to recharge, and it just seems as though this was, and there's a lot to sort of pick apart with this. There's, you know, trying to psychoanalyze Chris Peterson is a very, very tough task. I'm going to try not to, but as we look at the context of what's happened at Washington over the last couple of seasons, you know, maybe there were some times where we could pinpoint that Chris Peterson was starting to get a little bit worn down. He's been around for a long time. He's been incredibly successful, one of the highest winning percentages among active coaches at the time that he's resigning. Jimmy Lake is going to be taking over as the new head coach after his promotion to co-defensive coordinator a couple years ago. So we will get to that side of this first. But I guess, Barton, let's starting with Chris Peterson, with his decision to step down, what were some of your first questions that you want to have answered?
I don't know. I mean, you always wonder how long this has been percolating, how long. I mean, you got to think this is something going into this season he was already entertaining. I can't imagine one season wears him down like that. But ultimately, to me, this is almost consistent with kind of Chris Peterson. I shouldn't say consistent. It's just not that surprising to me, given the impression and personality that Chris Peterson sort of presents himself as, which is sort of a keep the main thing the main thing, doesn't get distracted by the bright lights, isn't going to be a ball coach till he's 80, you know, has other things in his life that he probably cares about. You know, he is one of these coaches that talks to his players about voting and, you know, educates them on real life stuff. And so I mean, not that any of that is really all that big of a deal, except for this just sort of gives a little bit insight to this guy's does more than just sort of draw plays on a chalkboard. So I'm not shocked that he's ready to call it. And I guess I wonder if maybe he's sitting there at Washington when you ask like what my questions are. I wonder if he's sitting there at Washington thinking like, you know what? Maybe I should just never left Boise. It's been good. Washington's been fine. You know, because it's felt like the right sweet spot for him as a program that you could do it his way, be on the big stage, win at the highest level, high ceiling program, but not the glitz and glamour of USC, not going to Texas or something like that with that kind of magnifying glass. But I don't know, even at Washington, I just wonder if Chris Peterson just sort of looked around and was like, you know what, this is not quite scratching my itch anymore.
Yeah, because he, like you said, he's never been the, you know, resume career guy that's like looking for the big job, because like you look at all the jobs he probably turned down while he was at Boise.
USC, for one, right?
Yeah. And those are just the ones that we know of.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure he's gotten plenty of interest at Boise before he finally took the Washington job, because to him, that was a job that, like Barton just said, seemed to fit what he was looking for and what kind of opportunity he wanted. And I don't know if he's just sitting there thinking he wishes to go back to Boise, but I do think it's interesting that in the release, he said he wants to recharge, which would imply I'm not retiring per se, but, you know, so it's like, because I just think recharge is an interesting choice of word instead of step back, because recharge implies, you know, like, what do you do with your phone? Why are you recharging your phone? Because you want to use it again.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I mean, we're definitely going to be like, he's going to be in that Urban Meyer role now for the next year, where his name is going to get brought up for a bunch of openings like it used to while he was still at Boise. Whether or not he's going to be interested in any of them, we have to wait and find out. But it's, I mean, it was surprising. And like you said, it was surprising when you heard it. When I first saw the tweet come out from Washington, because it was funny, because it came out shortly after the whole Mike Leach Ole Miss hoax. And it's like, I had my ears up, and, you know, like the radar was up, and I saw that. And I'm like, wait, is that another one? It's like, no, wait, that's from their official account. So it's real. So you were caught off guard. But then after you realized it was real, it was kind of like, well, it's not all that big of a shock either.
Yeah, he had a comment. He had some comments to Bruce Feldman at a Pac-12 media day a while ago, as the Pac-12 is really trying to lean into like social media and going over the top and turning this into a big production. And the sentiments from Chris Peterson were that, you know, he had respect for reporters and the media that have a job to do, but he wasn't really into the whole multimedia experience that college football was becoming. And it has been written by Dennis Dodd on CBSSports.com and suggested across the college football world that there's something indicative of these coaches that are stepping away from the game in their 50s, because we have Bob Stoops, we have Urban Meyer, and we now have Chris Peterson, all who have experienced success at the highest level. In the case of Urban Meyer and Bob Stoops, And even Chris Peterson, actually, he won a Pac-12 championship last year. I mean, you were in the middle of wildly successful runs at the Power 5 level, and you're deciding to step away. And I wonder if grouping all those together doesn't quite work, because Urban Meyer, you know, we could see right back in the mix as soon as next year. Bob Stoops, we already had to deal with significant amounts of you know, the rumors and the potential that he might be entertaining Florida State, and who knows what happens with the XFL or Bob Stoops with his future. But with Chris Peterson, just as a personality thing, I could just see him holding himself to the highest level of expectation that if he doesn't have exactly what Chris Peterson believes it takes to win and to be able to lead the program in the way that he wants to lead it, then he's going to be the one to walk away. Like, Chris Peterson to me has never stayed at a party too long. Like, Chris Peterson, he might have looked around, might have looked in the mirror, and like you mentioned, Barton, this might have been something that was brewing, but if he thought that it just things weren't quite working, it does seem like he is the type to not want it, to not be able to accept less than whatever his standard is. And so I feel like the Chris Peterson chances of return feel, like you mentioned, Tom, high, but they don't feel as certain as Urban Meyer.
No. And I also think that with what Dennis wrote, with like coaches like Stoops and now Peterson doing this where they're still in their 50s, and, you know, I think this is also a byproduct of coaching salaries, because the salaries are so high now that coaches who aren't, like, you know, who don't have that burning living desire where it's like, I'm football, my life is football, everything about me is football, suddenly find themselves in their mid-50s seeing how much time they're dedicating to this job, because it's a very demanding job, and saying, man, I've got like $12 million saved up. I could stop right now and be just fine and do whatever the hell I want with the rest of my life. So I think that's playing a major role in all of it too.
Yeah, and I also wonder, because Chris Peterson is, and I think, first of all, we were talking recently about how, you know, what he finished 7-5, and that's not really a record that a top five coach in college football would ever finish. And so we kind of questioned his status as that, but there is no question he's like a top 10 coach in college football. Like, he is one of the elite coaches of the game. And so that's part of what the shock of this is he's still at the top of his game, and Washington is still competing in the Pac-12, one that's kind of down year. But I do wonder, because he is a little bit old school, he's a little bit of an old soul, you know, all the way back. He was probably, what was he, like 45 or something when he did the double fist pump after Boise State ran the trick play, the hook and ladder for a touchdown. Like, that was a Mac Brown dance move in his mid-40s. So, you know, like, he's an old soul, and I think with that, he had a bunch of transfer stuff he had to navigate this offseason with the quarterback position. I think the transfer portal in general is getting a little bit loose for his liking. I think this was a year he was probably going to be pressured to make some staff changes. Obviously, Jonathan Smith is gone. Bush Hamden hadn't quite worked out as offensive coordinator the last couple of years. You know, that was going to be an uncomfortable spot for him to be in. It might have been one of these old deals where, hey, I'm not really comfortable with the high stakes game you want me to play here, Pac-12.
Right.
And you know what? I just, rather than, kind of to your point, Chip, rather than play by y'all's rules and expectations, I'm just going to say, no thanks.
Yeah, he's the master educator, right? Somebody who feels as much college professor as football coach, and just wishes that he could leave all this other stuff alone and focus on the guys that are in the locker room and teaching the game and helping them improve. And like all of the romantic ways Chris Peterson in his mind probably would like if that was the case.
They recruit, yeah, OKGs, our kind of guys. I think a lot of people probably use that terminology now, but when Peterson was at Boise State, that was sort of, I think, the first kind of time I'd heard that phrase and terminology. Is, you know, it's not about stars, it's not about anything else, but OKGs, our kind of guys, the right guys for our program, the culture, the personality, the competitiveness, and like that, I think, is what drives him, is those sort of, you know, I don't think he's ready to take that leap into battling Pete Carroll. Not that he has to do that right now,
But he might have to do it for Urban Meyer. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if he's looking around and I even thought that. I was like, what if Chris Peterson knows something that we don't? Or not that we don't. He has already moved on to that next step of the world changing. Because Urban Meyer showed up to the Big Ten and he changed the world. And if he does show up to the Pac-12, he's changing the Pac-12.
Yeah, but you know, the Urban Meyer stuff, like, I don't have first. I'm just following the kind of tea leaves and scuttlebutt. But it still seems like the noise is growing that Urban is on the bench for good, or at least for a while longer.
Until Jason Garrett gets fired.
He's already said he don't want to be an NFL coach. He says he couldn't. He says 9-7 for 9-7 to be acceptable would drive him crazy because he can't stand losing seven games.
But he also went on Coward a month ago and said he would take the Cowboys job.
He did say that.
Yeah.
That's true. I remember that.
He was, and that was so tricky because Coward got him doing.
Coward got him on that.
Coward got him with the, if you were Lincoln Riley, would you take the Cowboys? And Urban Meyer said, oh, yeah, that's the job. That's it. That's the number one job in all football. And as soon as Jerry Jones heard that, whoo, started feeling the vapors. All right, Chris Peterson is moving into an advisory position at Washington. We have sort of discussed what we might or might not be expecting from him moving forward. Coming up on the other side, Jimmy Lake and what's ahead for the Washington Huskies. Next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. You can bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/cover and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
So Jimmy Lake, a coach who has now had, he is very much fitting into the Lincoln Riley role because he has had this program and this coaching staff sort of bend to his will a little bit. And I don't know if Jimmy Lake would individually be as responsible for this. And if y'all have any more details on this, let me know. But I think about the fact that Jimmy Lake was a rising star for the way that he was coaching the defensive backs, the way that he was leading the defense. Some other schools were interested, so they rearranged it. So it was co-defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski, who's always had the defensive line, and Jimmy Lake. Jimmy Lake now from position coach to co-defensive coordinator after, you know, getting some interest, helping keep him right there in Seattle. Now he gets to take over as the next head coach of the football program. Barton, incredible opportunity ahead for Jimmy Lake. I think that we have all been fans of the work he has done leading defenses. For you, where, like, what do you think that jump or that gap or what the next steps look like for him in the program?
Okay, so I postured or posited after Bob Stoops stepped down that Lincoln Riley, like, I can't remember how I said it or what my sort of soundbite on it was, but it was some of the effect of this might not be that bad for Oklahoma. This Lincoln Riley could be as good, if not better, than Bob Stoops. And that was a little bit of, at the time, like, Yeah, I caught a little bit of flack from like the Oklahoma board. I mean, hey, Hall of Fame coach Bob Stoops, yada yada yada. But I think we can all look around and say Lincoln Riley elevated the Oklahoma program. It is in a healthier place, a more dominant place right now. Took what was good and made it better. I think I can't remember. I mean, my take on the Ryan Day deal with Urban Meyer, we had a little less exposure to Ryan Day because we only had really 1 year of watching him call plays at Ohio State. Lincoln Riley had a bigger body of work. But given the bullish nature on everybody with Ryan Day's reputation and all the rave reviews he got, I was at least optimistic that this team with Ryan Day as coach on the field could be better than an Urban Meyer coach team. Beyond this year is to be determined. I'm still pretty optimistic on Ryan Day, but Urban Meyer is as good as there is in program building. So I say all that to say I've now built up the confidence. I think I can just straight up say it now. Like I believe that Washington will be better off with Jimmy Lake as their head coach than Chris Peterson. And it sounds a little blasphemous, but again, like there we have some actual proof of concept here with two pretty high profile gigs. Jimmy Lake has been this incredibly respected coordinator for years now. He is a developer and he's a scheme guy and he's done it all at a high level. You can watch Washington's defense out scheme people. You can watch his DBs get drafted in the first and second round every year. He has personality. He has the aggressive recruiting demeanor that Chris Peterson might have shied away from. And so this is – I really – like there's a reason why this was all done in the shadows and there was a seamless transition because I'm sure everyone in that building from the janitor to the president knows that Jimmy Lake – is the real deal, and so there is no hesitation. So I think that Washington now is in a really good position to build on the foundation that Chris Peterson laid.
Yeah, and that's my question for you is, you mentioned, you briefly touched on it. What's his reputation as a recruiter? Because it's like when Chris Peterson first got to Washington, I was looking this up when I was writing it earlier, you know, they had – you know, they were like the recruiting classes the first few years were like between 20, 25. And now the last few years they've been improving to where now they're more in that 15 to 16 range. And I think that's one of the things, because like we were discussing with Peterson's decision to do this, he's never struck me. You said it's the, you know, OKGs, the R kind of guys. And I'm wondering if Jimmy Lake will bring a different approach, not to where they're, you know, not recruiting guys that fit what they want to do, but maybe they get a bit more aggressive in, like, you know, the going after the top talent guys that maybe Chris Peterson wasn't always concerned about going after and prioritizing.
Yeah, no, I think that's part of it here is that Jimmy Lake, I think, he's a really good recruiter. He is a little more personality wise, a little more outspoken, than you would see out of Chris Peterson, who's very sort of much more understated. And I think he will be aggressive on the recruiting trail. I mean, and look, look, Mario Cristobal is doing some Urban Meyer in the Big Ten stuff right now in terms of forcing the rest of the conference to adjust to his pace. And I think Jimmy Lake is equipped to adjust to the pace Mario Cristobal is setting.
In a way that Chris Peterson probably looks at it and is like, that's not what I'm ready for. That's not why I got in this.
Right. I think so.
Like it's the same competitiveness that, like, just an over the top competitiveness, the relentless. I feel like that's the Urban Meyer on the recruiting trail. Wasn't it just the relentlessness and the head coach involvement?
Yeah, and I think that's a key element to the recruiting climate is not just, I mean, recruiting at a high level can mean so many different things. But if you're head coach, and I actually don't really know Chris Peterson's how active he was as a recruiter, but if your head coach doesn't love it, if doesn't enjoy it, doesn't want to be really good at it, and doesn't want to be a face of the program, be an active recruiter in his own right, and be involved in these conversations and be more than just a closer, then there is a real ceiling on what you can accomplish. And I mean, Jimmy Lake certainly didn't have that persona about it as an assistant or as a coordinator, and I would imagine he's going to have the right persona and approach to it as a head coach.
I think that Chris Peterson decided he was going to retire during that Cal game, week two.
What, sitting up till 3 a.m.?
Yeah, the like 7-hour game with multiple weather delays, and then he has to see his offense stall out over and over and over again, settling for field goals, not being able to get it done. It's like,
At some point, he said to himself, I swear to God, if Eason Rolls turns in 180s to his left one more damn time, I am going to quit. 2 seconds later, done. Jimmy, it's yours. I'm out.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, that's an interesting question now is can Jimmy Lake keep Jacob Eason around for another year? Jacob Eason probably could use another year. But if he is back, then, you know, there's some encouraging pieces for next season.
The talent level on Washington's roster is such that they should not leave Pac-12 championship contention. And if he can find ways to generate some kind of spark offensively while maintaining the defensive standard that has been established as he's been there, Washington will be competing for a Pac-12 championship, and they will be in that group of 5 to 7 teams that we're not going to be picking to definitely be in the playoff, but we're definitely going to be picking as a team to keep an eye on. I just, you know, we go back and I look at the last two seasons, and I think, yes, they won the Pac-12 last year, but they also lost some games. You know, what'd they finish with, like 4 losses last year? And then 7-5 this year. And it's been on this podcast, as we mentioned, a running theme of sort of reanalyzing this Washington program, sort of reframing it in context. Was Jonathan Smith the secret sauce? Let's look at all these different trends. And I could see that Chris Peterson, you know, if he's just looking out and he's not seeing it, it's not working, the changes aren't quite happening, and he's not feeling it, you got to do... It's an 80-hour a week job, 100-hour a week job of, you know, plus you get to text 17-year-olds. Nah, man. Ugh. I'm good. lived a good one. All right.
Here's a question for you two that I mean, it's probably impossible to answer, but just what your gut tells you. Do you think that 7-5 this year was responsible for Peterson's decision, or do you think Peterson's decision, and probably maybe if he'd made this before the season started, was responsible for 7-5?
I think it's the first one. If it's one of the two, I think it's the first one. I think, you know, like, just, hey, man, like, my, it's not resonating like it used to for me, or like the offense, you know, this offense isn't working, and in order for me to fix it after 7-5, there's some things that I may have to do that I'm not super comfortable doing. This is just, I got a bad taste in my mouth. I think I'm going to walk away. I think that's more likely than rolling in
half-assing it.
Right.
Half-assing it.
Yeah. And I think it's not resonating is what I see. Like, there is no doubt in my mind that Chris Peterson has tinkered and tried to switch things up and tried, other ideas to create different results. He's not an insane person. He's an elite football coach who's won at a higher clip than most of the coaches in the modern era. It's just that when you then try to make those changes or those tweaks and you aren't able to change the results, and like you mentioned, Barton, if the next step is something that he's not really trying to wade into, then yeah, I think that I would say 7-5 probably influenced it more, because I don't consider Chris Peterson someone who would half-ass anything and or like play out the string, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I would give Chris Peterson the Steve Spurrier, well, looks like we're probably going to lose to Clemson this year, so I'll retire by mid-October. that's kind of what I find from, yeah, that's Spurrier would walk, not Spurrier, Peterson would walk away mid-season before he finished it out half-assing. All right, so what do we're sitting here. It is Monday night, 9:45 on the East Coast, 8:45 for these esteemed gentlemen over here. So where do we think the next emergency pod is coming from for emergency pod season?
I would say I feel like Florida State's going to make a decision soon, because I feel like the other schools are all kind of waiting, because maybe some of the people that they're interested in are interested in that Florida State job, and they want to find out what Florida State's going to do before they can really make the move on what they're going to do.
Barton?
Yeah. Florida State could be close, but I am shocked that there is like growing Lane Kiffin Arkansas smoke. And so, I mean, I don't know if Arkansas would have otherwise been a emergency pod.
Lane is, no doubt. Yeah, absolutely. And no, 100%.
There's an emergency Lane pod if that pops.
I think it's going to pop. I mean, that
blows my mind. I don't know why. Maybe it shouldn't.
It shouldn't, because one of the things that I remember from the Arkansas initially after the Chad Morris was that they were looking for somebody with experience as opposed to trying to get another up and comer. And Lane Kiffin, you know, he's a lot of things, but he's been around. I mean, there is nothing that, within the context of being a college football coach. Now, his experiences are mixed. There were highs and there were lows on and off the field. But Lane Kiffin has seen it and he's done it. And if you're trying to get somebody who's not going to ever get wide-eyed at anything, there is nothing that Lane Kiffin has not seen. So in that framework of the conversation, yes, it does seem wild that you know, Lane Kiffin would be back in the SEC and back in, and oh my gosh, it just in the SEC West, just Lane Kiffin against Saban every year, Lane Kiffin against Coach O every year, Lane Kiffin against Gus, whew, against Jimbo. Yes, please give it to me. Give it all to me. I think that's the play if you're Arkansas. You understand that he's still a good offensive mind and he is not going to be intimidated by anything.
I think it'd be good for us.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the right move for Arkansas.
I mean, I'll save all of my Lane Kiffin thoughts for when the Lane Kiffin pod happens. If I'm an athletic director, I would be real scared of hiring someone that tweets, like retweets people all day long. As a coach, like Chris Peterson just got burnt out because the grind was just too much, and Lane Kiffin is out here just on Twitter all day. But hey, I mean, maybe that's the secret. Maybe that's the secret to life. You know, don't take it too seriously. Get on Twitter.
He's reading the column right now. Like, grind? What grind? This is awesome. Yeah. I love tweeting at these dudes.
He's out on the shuffleboard court. And some pastels and flip flops.
We'll see. So what, Barton? You tell me what the smoke is looking like. Is it all coming from the same alleged private airport worker who works ramp?
There seems to be some. They seem to have legitimately met.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think that's been reported by multiple people, and so. You know, I don't know that there's a whole lot beyond that, but hey, that's more than we get for most searches. If they have legitimately had a real meeting, then he is a legitimate, real shortlist candidate. And I don't know what else they got cooking. Willie Fritz's name has been tossed around for Missouri and Arkansas recently. I know that's a favorite of the pod.
Yeah, that'd be a good hire. I mean, just go and hire the guy who's won like conference or championship level success at like four different levels of football. He's probably pretty good at this thing.
But no, I don't know how serious the Lane stuff is, other than he is really the sort of verified name that Arkansas folks and Trey Biddy at hogsport.com seems to be sort of circling and zeroing in on.
I don't know where else we would fit this in the discussion, so I'll throw it out now, but have you A, seen, and B, have any strong reaction to the growing number of former Boston College players that are coming out of the woodworks with Steve Addazio stories?
Was there more than one? Because I only saw one.
Did you see Andre Williams?
No.
The Heisman Trophy finalist who had his own version of how Steve Addazio couldn't look him in the eye when he came back and was honored for a home game against Wake Forest. And Andre Williams said in that long sort of like multiple tweet story explaining the experience that he was like, and I've known this, and a Boston College fan is going to hang a lot more on this than an Ohio State fan or someone else, but he said Boston College messed up by letting Ryan Day leave, because Ryan Day was the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach under Steve Addazio, and now look where he is.
Yeah, I was left wanting more out of the Andre Williams story. Just there was a few holes in that story. I couldn't quite figure out like where it went wrong with Addazio. He was just like, yeah, Addazio is not a good coach. I came back and he didn't make eye contact with me.
What's his name? The who played for the Falcons?
Is it Keys?
Yeah, Keys had the story where he gave you why. Like, because he had criticized Addazio
on Facebook.
He laid out like a court case. Yeah. It was like a brief.
So my instant reaction is I don't like the convenience of it, that the guy gets fired and now we're just going to go open season on it. But it's also caused me to reexamine a little about how, like, Steve Addazio has always been friendly with me in all of our professional interactions. I found the way he talks about football to be very engaging, and I enjoyed it. Anytime there was a one-on-one opportunity, if you could just talk ball with Steve Addazio, it was great. But I sort of took the dude's caricature and I probably ran with it a little bit without much thought about what kind of program building was happening over there. Certainly, player development gets a lot of check marks for time under Steve Addazio, but he must have been a different person behind closed doors for that to be one of the storylines or one of the fallout of the dismissal, because coaches get fired every year and everyone's got an axe to grind, but that's one that caught me a little bit off guard.
Do you feel responsible, Chip?
For what?
No, because you were fooled. No.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little just, I mean, I would have assumed Addazio is well-liked. I don't know why. I just would assume that.
But were there any other stories besides Williams and Keys?
Matt Patchen weighed in on it, former offensive lineman.
Like, didn't Matt Patchen weigh in a positive light?
Yeah, for Addazio.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was gone all afternoon, so.
I don't know. Like, that's two guys coming out that are fairly high profile is in the immediate aftermath of your firing is, I don't know. I feel like that's not insignificant. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. Other than
band's getting back together.
Band's getting back together.
I'll tell you what, Andre Williams and Josh Keys ain't stopping Steve Addazio and Charlie Strong from getting back with Urban Meyer.
You better hope that Urban doesn't get that Cowboys job, or else your NFL career is done.
All right. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow him at Tom Fornelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. We will be back with you with the Lane Kiffin Emergency Pod. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Oh, my God. We got breaking news.
Really?
No. Bye, guys.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.